Lord, uphold me that I may uplift you, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Do please have a seat. Well, we've been having a series of sermons here in this church on called The Path to Joy, but obviously we're interrupting that series to reflect on the life of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II from a Christian perspective. And as we remember the Queen in the context of Christian worship, will we do something rather different from all the hours of television and reams of newsprint that we're seeing, which just look to her as a person? But we'll be doing it in the context of our faith in God and looking to God and praising God and thanking God for her, the one who made her and gave her grace to serve. I was at a memorial service in early August, or actually late August, I think it was, and the preacher quoted very helpfully a poem by George Herbert called The Elixir. And the first line is, "Teach me, my God and King, in all things thee to see. Teach me, my God and King, in all things thee to see." And the poem goes on and it describes looking at a piece of glass. And the way you can either look at a piece of glass or through it. And the poem asks that we might, as it were, look through all that we see, through it, to see the Lord God. So that's what we're going to try and do this morning, to look at the Queen, but to look through her and see God. Now, when I heard on Thursday evening that the Queen had died, my thoughts went to the talk I was due to give at Sussex House School the next morning, which I do every week, and how I'd have to change that. And the set passage was 1 Corinthians 13, St. Paul's very famous description of love. And the thought instantly came to me that the Queen modeled that life of love, not perfectly, but to an unusually consistent degree. And I think that people have been so moved by her death because maybe unconsciously they realize that this is a life lived with what St. Paul would call love. And in this sermon, I'm going to describe her Christian love and then talk more briefly about her faith and hope. So looking at the Queen in the context of faith and hope and love, the three principal Christian virtues. So first of all, love. In that famous passage on love, St. Paul says, love is patient. Now, in my own very tiny way, I'm a public figure. And as a public figure, you do have to sit sometimes through some pretty dull meetings and events and conversations. And I can only wonder at some of the perhaps mind-numbingly dull events and conversations the Queen had to sit through. And yet never once, as far as I know, was she photographed yawning or looking bored. Love is kind. In what turned out to be his final Christmas broadcast, King George VI, the Queen's father, spoke of living in an age which is often hard and cruel. And he spoke of the British as a friendly people and said, I wonder if we realize just how precious this spirit of kindness is. And the Queen manifested kindness. There's one occasion she discovered that a journalist's wife was due to give birth and he would be unable to get back to the birth, it seemed. But she offered him a place on the royal plane so he could be there at the birth of his child. Love does not envy. Well, we might think that would be easy for her. She had a personal fortune of millions. She had these splendid houses and palaces and an art collection and furniture and horses. And yet I bet she was tempted to envy a quiet life with dogs and horses in the countryside. And I don't know her private thoughts and feelings, but I do know she didn't follow up on what she must have looked at and sometimes envied. She did not retire from public life. Love does not boast. She always spoke about the coronation, never my coronation. She spoke about it almost as though, oh, I just happened to be there. She didn't put herself at the center of every event. In 2013, on Instagram, 23 million photos were uploaded with the hashtag selfie. 51 million with the hashtag me. The Queen was, of course, the most photographed person in the world, but as somebody, I'm pretty sure it was somebody in this church, I think who's here today, said to me, she seemed to have no sense of self, not promoting herself. Promoting the monarchy, yes, but not herself. Love is not proud. She often travels with police outriders, and yet when she was at Sandringham, often she would drive to the little church nearby. They would hear the car pull up on the gravel, and she'd just enter quietly through a side door and sit in the pew as an ordinary worshipper. Love does not dishonor others. She's, of course, given honors to thousands of people, and yet has never been recorded dishonoring others. People have dishonored her. Her usefulness has been questioned. The cost to the nation criticized. Her style of grieving condemned. Her family described as cruel. And yet she's never spoken in criticism of others. Love is not self-seeking. Her life was devoted to service. That famous speech on her 21st birthday said, "I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service." And with celebrities telling us about every detail of their lives and telling us how terribly hard their life is and how they're suffering and the trauma they've had, she almost never spoke about herself because she was focused on serving others. Love is not easily angered. Journalist Andrew Marr pointed out that there are no reliable recorded instances of the Queen ever losing her temper. Love keeps no record of wrongs. I find this most powerful and moving of all. In 2011, shaking the hand of Martin McGuinness, widely believed to have been a commander of the Provisional IRA, who murdered her much-loved and esteemed second cousin, Lord Mountbatten. And not only shaking his hand, but smiling at him. What an example of forgiveness. Love does not delight in evil. Every Christmas she spoke about the good she'd seen and delighted in, and one of her most frequent themes was love of neighbour. Love rejoices with the truth. Paul Burrell, butler to Diana, Princess of Wales, and on the Queen's staff, was put on trial, accused of stealing Diana's possessions. And the Queen intervened in this trial fairly late on to give evidence that he hadn't done that and he was acquitted. She rejoiced with the truth. Love always protects. The Queen was a convinced Christian. She didn't pretend that all faiths are the same. And Christians appreciate her steadfast, repeated, courageous statement of faith in Jesus Christ. Surely she must have had advisors who said, "Mom, couldn't you just tone this down a bit? Think of all those atheists and people of other religions in your country. Isn't this a bit over the top?" But she never did. And in that way, she helped to protect the Christian heritage of this nation. But she also protected the rights of people of other faiths. Former chief rabbi Jonathan Sacks said, quote, "Jews have a deep respect for the Queen, and something similar in my experience is true of the other minority faiths in Britain. They value the Queen because they know she values them. She makes them feel not strangers in a strange land, but respected citizens at home." Love always trusts. She trusted in God. And we know how important to her was that poem that her father, King George VI, read out on Christmas Day, 1939. "I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be better to you than light, and safer than a known way.'" Love always hopes. She described 1992 as her annus horribilis. During that year, Prince Andrew announced his separation from his wife. Princess Anne got divorced. The Princess of Wales biography, Diana, Her True Story, revealed the unhappiness of her marriage to Charles, and Windsor Castle caught on fire. She didn't collapse. She didn't give up. She thanked people for people's prayers for her. And why? Well, because, as she said, "Throughout my life, the message and teachings of Christ have been my guide, and in them I find hope. Love always perseveres. I remember standing on the roof of a friend's house in Cheyne Walk in 2012 at that Jubilee, and there was this great pageant of boats coming down the Thames. And I don't know if you remember that, it was unusually cold for June. And I think it might even have been raining, but there was the Queen sitting on the barge, persevering in that service. And what an incredible example. 2 days before she died, shaking hands of the outgoing Prime Minister and the incoming Prime Minister. As we all know, she loved horse racing. That was her favourite sport. Apparently her least favourite was football. But I discovered she also loved watching the marathon. And maybe that's because she'd run her own marathon. She persevered. So in the Queen, we see something of what a life of Christian love looks like. And remember George Herbert's words, "Teach me, my God and King, in all things thee to see." And so, as it were, let us look, yes, at the Queen, but also through the Queen, to spy heaven. Because what we're looking at is ultimately the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a life of perfect love. And we're looking at the life of heaven. We're looking at what we're promised and what we will be if we're in Christ. Transformed mind, body, soul, spirit, to live that life of love. So from the Queen we learn about love, but we also learn about faith. And not just faith in God, or not just being spiritual, but faith in a Saviour. She said, "History teaches us that we need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness, from our greed. God sent into the world neither a philosopher or a general, but a Saviour with the power to forgive." And she would have known that since her coronation, because at her coronation, the then Archbishop of Canterbury, Geoffrey Fisher, gave her a little book, and he'd gathered writings and prayers and sayings, and he wrote, and remember, she's about to have the crown placed on her head, and he wrote, "There's another crown, the crown of thorns, and its wearers wore it for an unworthy people, and by wearing it made a way for their return to God." So our confidence that the Queen is now with God does not rest on her good life, but in her faith in a Saviour. I love that phrase in the prayer book prayer, the prayer for the Queen's Majesty, where we pray, and we had a version of it today, but we pray that she may attain everlasting joy and felicity. And I love that word felicity, don't you? A great old-fashioned word for joy and happiness. May she attain everlasting joy and felicity. And why will she attain that? Not because of her life of love. Not because of her service. Not because of her humility. Not because of her kindness. But because she's got a Saviour, Jesus Christ. And in him she put her faith. She entered joy and felicity not as a monarch, but as a believer. She didn't come to God, as it were, or she won't come before God at the day of judgment and say, "Here's my crown, here's my orb, here's my scepter." She won't come and saying, "Here's my patience, here's my kindness, here's my forbearance." She'll come and say, "Here's my Saviour. Save me because of him." That is Christian faith. And finally, we learn from her about hope. And one of the things that has so struck me, and I'm sure will have struck you, and we referred to it this morning, and the people have said again and again, that she's been a constant in our lives. There's been this, just this steadiness, this person and this institution who's been there for these 70 years. Politicians have come and gone. Celebrities have come and gone. Fashions have changed. And although she rightly did adapt the monarchy in many ways, in other ways, she didn't change. Her fundamental values didn't change. Incredible, isn't it, to think how much has changed since she came to the throne. In 1952, Joseph Stalin was still in the Kremlin. Mount Everest had not yet been climbed. The invention of the mobile phone and the internet was decades away. And yet she remained constant, especially in that commitment to service. As strong, as real, as dedicated to it in 2022 in August as she was in 1952. But of course, she's mortal. And that means, in the words of Scripture, she soon withers and dies. Quite a long life, 96 years, but actually, in the context of human history, it's just a moment. For the constant, of course, what we must look at as Christians, this is not the constant. The constant, we look to God, the King of Kings who's everlasting. And she did that. Apparently, she once exclaimed to a chaplain, "How I wish the Lord Jesus would come in my lifetime." "Why?" the chaplain asked. And she replied, apparently with quivering lips and a whole countenance lit up by deep emotion, "I should so love to lay my crown at his feet." And so the Christian hope looks to the God of whom Psalm 90, the first reading, says, "Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." And that psalm articulates the sense that we do feel, or certainly should feel, that there's something terribly wrong in the world, in the brevity of our lives. We come, we go, we're forgotten. Our achievements are forgotten. And that will happen even with the Queen. And that is God's indication to us that something is wrong, and that what that psalm calls his wrath is holy, loving wrath. His displeasure out of love for the way we've turned away from him is expressed in that sense of brevity and strangeness and briefness of our life. But the point of that is that we should look to God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. That is Christian hope. Psalm 47, verse 8 says, "God reigns over the nations." God did not die on Thursday. He's still on the throne. And that is why we can say with John Newton, who said, "There's one political maxim which always comforts me, and that is, the Lord reigns." "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants," says Psalm 116, verse 15. And I believe the death of Elizabeth was precious to God. Precious because she manifested in her life love to an unusual degree. Precious because she had faith in her Saviour. Precious because she put her hope in the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, you may be here today, you may not share Queen Elizabeth's faith, but you might have seen something in her which draws you to her God. And I plead with you, don't just let that feeling fade. Do something about it. Follow it up. We've got these little leaflets with lovely words of scripture and prayers and poems connected with Her Majesty's life. There are a few of those at the back. You could take one, or we've got plenty more. We can send you one. Or maybe come to one of these courses we run that revolutionized Nick's life that we're starting to run in October. We're running just three sessions called Hope Explored, to explore the Christian hope. Why not come on that? Have a word with Joe or me, or get in touch with the church office. But if we do share the Queen's faith, well, I urge us, as St. Paul taught, not to grieve as those without hope. We do grieve, and it's right that we do. Ecclesiastes in the Bible says there's a time to mourn and a time to weep. But we grieve with hope. We take the hope of resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and our own resurrection in him, and the resurrection of Queen Elizabeth, we take that hope and we rub it into our heart and mind and soul, as they used to rub salt into the meat in the old days. And we give thanks for a queen who taught us about Christian love and faith and hope. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we give you thanks for the life of Queen Elizabeth, and especially for her example of Christian love. And we thank you for her faith in a Saviour and hope of heaven. I pray for each person in this church today that we might share that faith, hope, and love. In Jesus' name, amen.